Oh, I'll just say Organizer. I try again a couple times. Thanks.
To erase this message, press 7. Next saved message.
It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Ladies and gentlemen, August Donnelly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've enjoyed an extended vacation and collaborating on other projects, but it's been too damn long since I got up on the mic, so let's get down. For the next half hour, I'm going to do it like Michael Jordan and steal the open air. That's right, it's time for August Donnelly's Full Frontal. Yes, indeed, you're tuned into Full Frontal right here on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM, and I'm your host, August Donnelly, wishing you all a good day or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are. Folks, we have a great show lined up for tonight, and my guest is someone I've been looking forward to speaking with for a long time. In fact, I'm certain you'll enjoy hearing what this leading lady has to say as well. With a lengthy career spanning nearly half a century to her credit on stage and the silver screen in Hollywood, my guest tonight may be best remembered for her leading role in the audio clip you heard at the beginning of this show. That's right. Tonight on Full Frontal, we're joined by the star of the legendary film Night of the Living Dead, Judith O'Day. So we will most definitely be speaking with Judy momentarily. Before we do so, as you all know by now, I like to get down to the listener email whenever I can and whenever time permits. Tonight's listener email comes to us courtesy of a loyal fan and indeed a good friend of mine named Ken. Ken holds it down in the beautiful Forest City of London, Ontario, and often sends me something funny to read on the air. Of course, some of it's a little bit too risque, so with that, I have to pay my dues and read some of the stuff that Ken sends me because, frankly, it's just funny. Anyway, Ken sent me the following for us all to ponder. This is an email Ken sent me about Homeland Security, whether it's Canada or the U.S. And you know what? I gotta admit, I do agree. Here's a great idea. A solution to all the controversy over the full-body scanners that everybody's talked about of late. You know, is it going to be exposing me in a nude fashion, or is it going to be showing off the extent, or of course lack thereof, of one's genitals, or private parts, or naughty bits, whatever you want to say. Here's a solution to all the controversy. We have a booth set up at the airport that you can step into that will not x-ray or expose you, but will detonate any and all explosive devices you may have on you, similar to what the bomb squads use to dispose of bombs, a sort of blast-proof garbage dumpster. So, it's a win-win for everyone when you think about it. There's no racial profiling, there's no sexism, there's no racism, there's no ageism. You step inside that container, and when it scans you, if you're carrying a device that detonates, well, I guess grab your ankles and kiss your ass goodbye, because you're only taking out yourself on this one. I think that's pretty fair, actually. It's a pretty good way to go about things. I don't know. Definitely feel free to email your thoughts, as always, august@chrwradio.com. Share your thoughts on that one, but I think that's pretty funny. Step into it. It blows you up if you're carrying something you shouldn't be. There you go. Now, we're not talking, you know, a little dime bag of weed. We're not concerned about that. We're talking about people that are trying to, blow each other up and or terrorize the human race in general. Anyway, another one Ken sent to me is pretty funny, actually. It's definitely food for thought in relation to finances and retirement planning, that kind of thing. Just food for thought. Think about this. If you had purchased $1,000 worth of Nortel stock a couple of years ago, it would now be worth $49. With Enron, we all remember the big Enron crash? Well, with Enron, you would have had $16.50 left now of the original $1,000 you invested. With WorldCom, we all remember WorldCom, you'd have less than $5 of your original $1,000 investment of a couple of years ago. If you purchased $1,000 of Delta Airlines stock, you'd also have about $50. But if you had purchased $1,000 worth of beer or wine a year ago, drank all the beer or wine or spirits, and then returned the cans and bottles for the recycling refund to the liquor store or beer store, you would have $214. Seriously, think about this. What makes more sense? $5? $16 and change? $50? No. Drink. You'd have $214 left. So based on the above, I guess the best current investment advice is to drink heavily and recycle. It's as simple as that, folks. Drink heavily and recycle. Remember that. It's like rinse and repeat. Words to live by for sure. Anyway, let's get down to some music, shall we? This is a little section of the show I like to call August's Audibles. This is the section of the program where I like to, you know, get down on some music and play the most recent song or track I happen to be listening to in my car or before pulling into the studio and coming on air to do my thing. So, tonight on Full Frontal, we've got a bit of a cult classic for you, sort of sticking with the cult classic theme of Night of the Living Dead. Totally unrelated song, but it's got that constant staying power, that je ne sais quoi, I guess you could say. So we're taking it back to 1993 with a well-known band from Oklahoma and their biggest hit to date. So sit back and enjoy yourselves. This is the Flaming Lips and their smash hit, She Don't Use Jelly.
She'll make you toast, but she don't use butter, and she don't use cheese, she don't use jelly.
Man, I love that track. It's quirky, but it never gets played out, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's get down to the interview I mentioned at the beginning of the program. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the wonderful and engaging Judith O'Day.
First of all, Judy, thanks so much for making an appearance here on Full Frontal. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I know people often wonder what gets a person involved in acting or mainstream media in general. So if you wouldn't mind, could you give the listeners a bit of a background regarding yourself and your career, you know, where you were born, what life was like for you as a girl?
Sure. I was born in Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio, way, way back when. I always, always wanted to be in entertainment. I used to sit as a kid on the little stoop of our apartment building, singing and singing away. I
got into my first equity show when I was about 7 years old, coming through doing the Snow Queen's Palace. I played a little something or other, and I can remember my name. But I began work on the stage on a regular basis when I was 15 years old. Was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, one of the finest training grounds I have ever received. We had three beautiful theaters there, Studio Theater, Craft Avenue, and Hamlet. I started in high school, continued on, and that's really the beginning of my career. I opened it out in television, then eventually in film.
Now, did you have any significant role models in Hollywood?
My favorite was Mary Martin. In fact, I can remember she came through Pittsburgh doing a wonderful one-woman show called An Evening with Mary Martin. I had written to her. She wrote back. We had the front row seats. Just a tremendous thrill for me. I even got to meet her years later when she was doing a show on Broadway. I was doing an industrial show in New York. I went to see her, went backstage again.
So years later, once you had established yourself in the industry, it must have been interesting to have met her as a young girl, and then, of course, years later when you're, you know, in the same niche, so to speak.
Well, I tell you, I was a lot more humble that second trip.
I imagine. Now, of course, you're widely recognized for your leading role as Barbara in George A. Romero's classic film, Night of the Living Dead. Can you tell our listeners how you landed that job, so to speak, and is it something you look back on with pride and fond memories?
Oh, great pride, great fond memories. It's true, who you know in the business really can make a difference in your going places or getting something. I had done considerable amount of television and radio voiceover work with Carl Hartman and Marilyn Eastman. They had a recording studio in Pittsburgh. It was Carl's remembering those after Hollywood. It was less than a year when Carl called to say, we have a barn, we're going to do a film, you want to come back and audition, kind of thing. I said, well, sure. I left Hollywood, flew back to Pittsburgh, got the role of Barbara.
And the rest is history.
You betcha.
Now, it's been said that one reason for Night of the Living Dead being regarded as a truly classic film is the fact that it was one of the first movies, if not perhaps the first movie, to portray two minority groups in brave starring roles. Your co-star, Dwayne Jones, who was African-American, and yourself being female in a time when men dominated most of the perilous roles in cinema. As a young woman, was it difficult to break through the stereotypes of traditional roles played by most women of that time?
I never gave it any thought, August. I really didn't. I loved my life. I loved what I was doing. I never really thought of myself as lesser than being a woman. I've really always thought of myself as a person with certain talents. I know that the rest of the world, looking back on it now, might have let me run up against the glass ceiling in corporate America, or I might not have received a role or two because of whatever reason. But to be honest with you, I never gave it any thought. I just worked, did my best when I worked.
And that's, of course, the best way to do it.
If Studio Day, and I know a ton of other people, really feel that way, if only more and more and more people felt that way, maybe we could mature a little bit as human beings, grow out of this need for greed and power, and really see ourselves as a part of a one big human race. I know we didn't plan on getting esoteric here, but it really bothers me to see how wonderfully diverse the world is.
Yes.
And how people want to keep it in little segments, and it pained me to see that.
By all means, get as philosophical as you like.
You know, it's like 6 degrees of separation. You hear something like this and you say, oh my gosh, you know, that's exactly how I feel. I'm so glad to know that there are other people around the world who do want to see us as one rather than black, yellow, pink, blue.
Absolutely.
The more we talk about it, the better off I think we'll all be.
Definitely.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to August Donnelly's Full Frontal on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM. We're speaking with acclaimed Hollywood actress and star of the legendary film Night of the Living Dead, Judith O'Day. So, back to the 411.
Judy, given that Night of the Living Dead remains such a groundbreaking and beloved film the world over, I know people always wonder of actors in the horror genre, I think especially, was there ever a particular time during the filming when you were genuinely frightened or feared for your safety, or, you know, was it ever actually a shocking experience?
I never feared for my safety. I really was scared. The one time in particular I can remember was the scene when Johnny comes back. You see him coming in through the door with his driving glove on, grabbing me, pulling me out amongst all the other zombies. That was, of course, my supposed demise in the film. Doing that scene, you know it's not real, but you get caught up in the whole psychology of it. It truly was a terrifying thing to film. Doubts you hear and the struggles you saw came from immersing myself in that, really feeling. The only injury I can recall having was when Dwayne Jones, as Ben, grabbed me in the house. We had both told our stories. I said, we have to get Johnny. Johnny's out there. He grabbed me so hard, and then I smacked him, etc., if you remember the scene.
I remember it vividly.
Right, and the black and blue marks you see on my arm were real. They came from the grabbing, going through that entire emotional sequence. Yeah. That was the only injury I sustained.
Now, what was the most difficult aspect of working on Night of the Living Dead for you personally?
Gosh, I was 23 years old. I don't think there was anything that I would say was difficult. I was so excited to do what I was doing, to be in a feature film, that I think I saw things, everything that I was asked to do was a challenge. The most important element for me being, is it believable? Is what we just did truly believable? That's the whole thing for me as an actress. You can see a film I'm in and say, you know what, I really believed her. She looks the same as yada, 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 but you know, I really believed her. I enjoyed each step along the way, not only as an actress, but also understanding more and more about the production value, what it takes to make a film, whether it's an Avatar kind of film with hundreds of millions of dollars involved, or $120,000 to make a film. There are wonderful things that happen to make the magic appear on that screen. I learned some of those behind-the-scenes things because all of us involved really helped out doing everything. Putting on makeup on zombies. I'm remembering George Romero teaching me how to load film stock in a film bag. You had to do that all by feel so that he could take those cartridges and put them right on that old 16-millimeter camera he was using.
Mm-hmm.
It was a thrill. I can remember seeing him in Hollywood at the premiere of his Land of the Dead. Him in a long time. He was four rows in front of me. When the film was over, I went over to him. He just took me into his big arms, gave me a big bear hug. He said to me, did we ever imagine to this? We therefore, we had just wonderful conversations the times that we do see each other at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
But George has always maintained his regular person who is creative, wants to do something he loves to do. Making films I never found really changed him, made him wonderfully refined in his craft, but always wonderfully approachable. The older we both got, the more, as you say, the war stories that we shared.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy.
You've also starred in other films recently, such as November Sun and Women's Studies, the latter of which, if I'm not mistaken, is scheduled for release this year. How did working on these movies compare to your early acting career?
Well, first of all, much of my acting career has been done on stage. There is a wonderful difference between the two. I love them dearly. But differences, you watched the Academy Award, didn't you?
I sure did.
All right. Did you see Night of the Living Dead for about a minute? He gave a tribute. I tell you what, I was just so thrilled. But that aside, you mention the differences. Ken Amican, when they gave In Memoriam, Ken Amican, a director, and I worked together. Ken passed away this last year.
Mm-hmm.
We did a thing called The Pirate with Franklin Nero, Eli Wallach, and Archer. This was years ago out of Warner Brothers in Hollywood. It's, to me, it's just a matter of bigger budget, littler budget. You're still doing the same thing. You're crafting a story. You want to do it in the best way, the most believable, honest way that you can. It is just a matter of budget. So as far as being different, every director is different, sees his story or her story differently. It's wonderful to experience all those differences with the people you work with, the DPs, the directors. Just an exciting process.
I have to ask, of course, given your, you know, extensive career, if you had to choose, do you have a favorite movie of all time, or better yet, even maybe a favorite horror movie of all time?
Boy, that's a toughie. There's so many wonderful films that I have enjoyed over the years. Horror is really, it has not been my genre of choice, but because I've been so involved in it over these years, I've learned to see it and understand it, respect it.
Mm-hmm.
Be very grateful for it over the years. Favorite film, off the top of my head, I would say The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, the original with Jean Tierney.
Okay.
Absolutely loved that film.
Yeah.
I also thoroughly enjoyed The Birdcage, Robin Williams. I also think that Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
An incredible film. If we can just go with those, there are, of course, many others. I know if you gave me a moment to get my old brain going here. List an arm length.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. The top three is definitely a good way to go. I when asked the same question, I'm very hard-pressed as well. It's, you know, oh, geez, if I had to pick one. Can I give you a top 10 list, maybe? And, you know, the God's honest truth, Night of the Living Dead would always be in that top 10 list.
Thank you. I'm very grateful. You continue to support it as much as you do.
Absolutely. Definitely top 10. switching gears a bit, if you don't mind, Judy, I'd just like to talk about your role as president and founder, of course, of O'Day Communications. Now, would you agree that given modern technological advances such as BlackBerry's email and the internet, would you say that conventional conversation and, of course, effective oral communication is becoming a dying art?
I don't think it will ever die out, August. But I do think that communication has changed tremendously
mm-hmm.
over the last 5 to 10 years. Cell phone, texting, face-to-face communication, I think is critical. I do think that many younger people find that a little more difficult than grabbing that BlackBerry or whatever it is
mm-hmm.
and texting to somebody. I do not believe that it would be humanly possible for us to totally remove ourselves from face-to-face, voice-to-voice. I think it's inherent in us. You want to see somebody, or you want to talk to somebody eventually. What is sad to me is, first of all, the spoken word, voice, tone, timbre, excite me. Oh! It excites me. I believe that we're losing some of the glory of that with all of our texting. God, I love email. I couldn't live without it.
Sure.
But I would much prefer often to pick up the cell phone now and chat with somebody. But many, many young folk are getting away from that. Why talk when you can move your hands faster than a speeding bullet to talk to somebody without really talking to them?
Exactly.
I'm sad. A great analogy would be the art of writing letters.
Yes.
Really picking up a pen, writing a letter to someone, taking the time to sit and think and jot, lick that envelope, put on that stamp. We're stepping away from the glory of the written letter as well. And now we're stepping farther away from that wonderful vocal expression back and forth to each other. Now, being the age I am, I hate to see that lost. And yet, let's just say it's changing. And we'll ever lose it.
Yeah.
Another big, big change that saddens my heart is grammar.
Yes.
The lack of grammar. Not knowing when to use he and him, her or she, it just, really gets to me.
Yes. A big one that gets me is your versus your, you know, the contraction of you are versus your, you know.
Absolutely.
Things like that, again, it's I've got friends who are teachers and professors at the college and university level, and we'll get together and just roll our eyes, you know, collectively. Just, it's so scary how in the time since we were in high school, you know, 15, 20 years ago, that how drastically things have changed, as you said. I mean, it's even in the last 5 or 10 years, colleagues, friends, you know, again, that are working at the university and college level that have freshman students, you know, at major institutions that are 19, 20 years old, submitting essays or papers using what you would call, I guess, text message lingo or abbreviations. And this is somebody who somehow managed to get into a world-renowned school, you know, whether it's in the U.S. or in Canada. You think, how on earth did you qualify for this school or get a high enough grade average to even get in here if this is what you think passes for the English language or any language for that matter?
Same thing is true when you turn on the television. Oftentimes, I listen to news reports. It scares me to hear and see these folk not speaking properly. It's just as if, well, spoken word changes faster than the written word.
Of course.
Of course, when you're listening to people, you hear so many new things and changes to grammar. But I'm appalled when I hear news reporters using improper grammar. But young people don't seem to realize it. They didn't live through it.
Well, the thing I try to stress to people, and I, if you don't mind me copying something from your O'Day Communications website, I was looking through the website, and it just, to me, I think it should be bronzed and put on the wall of every classroom in North America. It was, perception is reality. Present yourself believably if you want to be taken seriously.
The bottom line is we have to be flexible to change. If there are things about change that you don't like, you don't have to buy into it, but
absolutely,
you can only make things more exciting. That's how we get better.
Now, Judy, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to send a fan letter or perhaps request an autograph or even utilize the services offered by O'Day Communications?
Just get online, www.oday, that's O-D-E-A, communications.com. It has contact information, everything you need to get in touch.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the lovely and talented Judith O'Day. Judy, thanks so much for taking some time for the show.
It was a pleasure, August. Thank you for having me.
Folks, we are all out of time for another edition of August Donnelly's Full Frontal. Remember, you can catch us right here on 94.9 FM CHRW Radio or on Rogers Digital Cable Channel 943, Mondays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also online anywhere in the world via chrwradio.com and listen for intermittent broadcasts of the show throughout the week. Until next time, if you have any questions for myself or a guest, past or present, send an email to august@chrwradio.com or visit my official website at www.augustdonnelly.com. Tune in again, and you just might learn something.